Let's get the view now of the Trump presidency from a Republican. Now, it's just one voice, but it's a very powerful one, getting a lot of attention. Dan Eberhardt is a big Republican donor, an avid supporter of the GOP, and for a long time of President Trump, despite disagreements here and there about tariffs and trade. But things have changed enough that other Republicans are taking notice. Eberhardt is managing partner of Eberhardt Capital, CEO of the Canary LLC Oil Field Services Company. He's criticized some of the president's pandemic response and what he's called Trump's bravado. Dan Eberhardt joins us by Skype from Florida. Dan, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
How would you characterize your dismay with President Trump's handling first of the pandemic?
First of all, I think that he's done a good job with the economic response and with some of the response to, you know, the actual pandemic and the rollout. But I think there's a lot to be critical of. First, I think the administration should have had more preparatory planning. Second, I think the administration has been a little bit tone deaf to what people are going through and the economic and health consequences. And finally, I think that the Trump administration needs to be more uplifting and more cognizant of the health challenges going forward. And I think they just quite frankly seem a little bit flat-footed.
Back in March, when President Trump was downplaying the coronavirus, he said he'd have the country open by Easter. You said then if he tries to restart the economy too soon and the pandemic continues to spread, that will be his legacy and it will be one of failure. You know, people were showing up on beaches on Memorial Day, and they were saying, if President Trump isn't wearing a mask, I'm not going to wear a mask. Are you still worried about a second wave and what that might mean for the Trump presidency?
I'm absolutely worried about a second wave. And I think that there's a lot to fault Trump on in terms of reopening the economy, trying to do it too soon, and, you know, kind of sidestepping what the scientists think were the correct response to the pandemic.
But also then maybe sidestepping the role of president. A study released Monday showed these shutdowns prevented 60 million U.S. infections. But in mid-April, the president said he had total authority to open the state's economies. At that point, you told the Washington Post, I'm almost positive James Madison fell off a cloud somewhere when Trump said that. The founders of the republic stitched together a complicated game of chess to ensure our president was a very weak king and his authority is far from total. I have to ask you, why you'd be surprised. The president's critics have long said that with supporters like Bill Barr, who absolutely believes in executive power, the president has been doing this for a while. He didn't respond to subpoenas, won't show his tax returns, issues a mandate about masks, and then says, it doesn't apply to me. You know, some people might say James Madison has so tumbled off that cloud, rolled over quite a few times already.
Well, first of all, you know, I think that everyone as citizens of the republic should want James Madison on the cloud, not falling, in terms of the presidency is supposed to be somebody subject to checks and balances. And so some of those other items you mentioned, they weaken at the edges. Him just asserting he has total and unfettered authority directly just really blew me away. And I actually took to Twitter, just really took me off guard and made me kind of upset, because that's not the response we want to our leader dealing with the pandemic. And, you know, now with these protests needing to have a more inclusive and more proactive view. I think that during the George Floyd tragedy, that Trump has been too focused on his base with this law and order rhetoric and not focused enough on the country as a whole and being the unifier in chief and that informal position that he holds, as well as being focused on the needs and sensibilities of communities of color. Those are things that I worry about. And I think, you know, if there were, you know, James Madison's, you know, 12th removed great, great, great grandson, you know, would also be concerned about that, you know, we need checks and balances, not bravado and an unchecked king. And that's not what people voted for. And that's not what our system is in America.
Well, you say you're disappointed in his response to the African-American community, which is in anguish. Again, you know, I can hear some people listening saying, well, this is a man that you supported, and it was well known. His family company years ago had to settle a huge lawsuit for the way blacks were treated in the Trump company buildings. He led the false claim that the so-called Central Park Five were responsible for an attack in the park. They were clear to that, and the president, now president, but Donald Trump, kept, you know, took out a full page ad accusing them of that. He falsely claimed the first African-American president wasn't born in the U.S. So, you know, some might say they didn't have an expectation that he'd be able to speak to the Black community. You know, why did you?
Well, when you vote for presidents, it's a binary choice. And so on a fundamental basis, I'm more conservative, and everyone should have, you know, hope in who they vote for, that the office is bigger than them and they're going to rise to the occasion. And I think that Trump has just been two steps behind and two steps too far to the right for what this country is going through in 2020 right now.
Well, and do you worry about the impact not just on the attempts to reelect the president, but on your party? The president came out with that phrase, "When the looting starts, the shooting starts."
That phrase was ill-advised and should have remained somewhere in his cortex, not been put out into the universe.
He also has been calling himself the law and order president, which, of course, is reminding us of the other president who did that, who was Richard Nixon, who sent the National Guard to, ultimately, they shot and killed college students, led to Richard Nixon's downfall. Are you worried that this isn't just about the reelection, but this is about your party?
I am worried. I think that this kind of division and discontent is a result of many things, but I would really like to see Trump consider himself to be the unifier in chief and to really work to heal the divides, to try to govern from the middle and be compassionate to communities that are really reaching and grasping for help, mm-hmm. and to really try to understand where those folks are coming from and what we as a country can do to lift them up and bring them with us on this American journey.
If the economy suddenly turns around, can you forgive everything else?
I don't know that I can forgive everything else, but I think that a vote in November is a vote for what you want the future of the country to look like. And it's also going to be a referendum on what Trump's done. Those are things that I'm going to have to weigh. There's been a lot of good come out of his administration in terms of economic growth, regulatory rollback, judicial appointments, and things like this, and this kind of thrust of conservatism. But as far as being able to heal the country, I think that he's just struggled with that role, and that's something that's going to weigh on my mind in November.
What do you say to people like Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton? We know he wrote the op-ed calling for more military response early on in the protest. He says that what President Trump has to do is say, "I will protect you, Democrats won't." You've been quoted as saying Trump's reelection chances are going down in flames when buildings are on fire and police precincts burn. Are you saying the same thing as Tom Cotton?
No, absolutely not. I do think that the handling of the protesters and the rioters, is definitely going to affect how people perceive Trump and definitely going to factor in when the election happens in November. And I think right now, I think that's going to negatively impact his reelection chances in the fall. I think that's completely different from Cotton's op-ed. You know, I think we need some law and order, and I think we need to respect police officers and the police force that does a good job. But I think we've got to take a serious look at over-policing and what's going on. I absolutely think bringing in the military and the National Guard is just flat the wrong move. Mm-hmm. That's something that should happen in a banana republic, not in the United States of America, not in George Washington's republic.
Dan Eberhardt, I have to ask you, what have you heard from fellow Republicans? Are you hearing from people saying, "What the heck are you doing here?" I mean, what's been the response?
I had a quote that I said something along the lines of, "Republicans are headed for extinction in the suburbs if they don't distance themselves from the NRA." And Phil Murphy called me and like three members of Congress, and I was like, "Wow, that got through." You want to be a member of a party and you want to place a vote in the November election for the kind of America you want and the kind of America you aspire to have. And that's how people should think about how they vote, in my opinion.
Dan Eberhardt, longtime Republican donor, Trump supporter early on, and you just heard criticism. He's managing partner of Eberhardt Capital and CEO of Canary LLC. Thank you so much, Dan.
Thank you very much for having me. I wonder what kind of phone calls I will get.